An old mountaineer bought a chainsaw at the hardware store. The clerk explained that he could saw 5 cords of wood a day with it. As a matter of fact, it was guaranteed to saw 5 cords of wood a day. So the old mountaineer went out the first day and he worked hard, but he only sawed 1 cord. He came in and he told his wife that something was wrong with the chainsaw. She said, "Oh, go out early and stay late. Maybe you can get 5 cords tomorrow." So he did. He got it before sunup, didn't take time to eat any food, worked until it was dark, but he still only got 2 cords. He was so tired, he went straight to bed. His wife came in the room and said, "I just take that thing back to the store in the morning. It doesn't work." Next morning, he determined to do that. He confronted the salesman who sold it to him, and he complained to him, and he said, "You know, you said I could saw 5 cords with this saw, and I only got 2 done. Now, something is wrong." Salesman said, "Well, let's take a look at it." So he looks at it, and he takes the hand on the rope, and he pulls it as hard as he can, and the motor starts, and the old mountaineer jumped back, and he said, "What's that noise?" Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. Here's the reason I bring this up. Sometimes we just don't recognize the power that we possess. You know, speaking from a spiritual standpoint, we might get this. The psalmist said in chapter 31, verse 10, he says, "My sins have sapped my strength." Nehemiah needed strength as he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem while feeling constant opposition from Geshem and Sanballat and Tobiah. We read about that in Nehemiah 2, 19 and 20, and Nehemiah 4, 1 through 5. King Asa pleaded to God in his weakness in 2 Chronicles 14, 21. He says, "O Lord, no one else can help us. Here we are, powerless against this mighty army. O help us, Lord our God." Now this world has a way of weakening us. And if we polled every single person that gathers at the Covell Community Church today, I assure you that we would disagree on a lot of things. But one thing that we would all agree on is that we don't like to feel weak. No one likes feeling weak or sick or tired or stressed or hungry or thirsty or spiritually empty. And all of these things can spawn weakness inside of us. And we don't like it. Paul had a response for this. He said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, he says, "Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, we look at this and we see a contradiction. We ask Paul, what are you feeling? How in the world could you feel this way? How did you say it this way? Why did you make it this way? And I believe that we can answer these questions with an Old Testament passage that is one of the most prominent passages in all of Scripture. In fact, if you've walked into any attorney's offices, doctor's offices, upper echelon, people that work in the professional field offices, you might have even seen something like this in one of their pictures on one of their walls. This is one of those motivational pictures that features an eagle flying. I've seen it 100 times with this passage behind it. Here's what it says. Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, he says, "He," meaning God, "He gives strength to the weary. And to him who looks, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous, young men stumble badly. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They'll walk and not become weary." How do we know this? We know this because God is the key. You see, today we recognize Jesus Christ as our Savior, but today we're going to look at him from a different perspective. We're going to see that Jesus Christ is also our trainer. You see, for those who are tired and weak and hurting, you have come to the right place, because this church is a sanctuary of spiritual fitness. It is a place of body building. It is a place where Christian believers work together to get stronger. Let me give you an example of this. When I was in college at Eastern Illinois University my freshman year, I was starting to put on the freshman 15, which felt like the freshman 50. And I knew that it was time to lose weight, and I felt that. I knew that I had to do something. So in the afternoons, because I didn't function in the morning, I would go down to the basement where we had a workout facility, nice workout facility. And I'd go down and I'd play around with the weights. Now, I'd done weightlifting when I played football in high school, but I knew that I needed to do something. So I went down there, and on one particular day, this guy came down. I knew him. He lived on my floor. He was a Marine. And this guy was absolutely cut and ripped in ways I'd never seen. And I looked at this guy, and I said, I want to look like him. And so he said, Chad, he knew me. I knew him. His name was Russ. He said, Chad, what are you doing here? I said, just playing around with the weights. He said, you want to work out with me? And I said, yeah, of course I do. And he said, you know what? If you're interested, he said, you and I can be, we can work out together. And I said, really? Yeah. Okay. That's great. And he said, so when do you want to start? And I said, I don't know. When do you want to start? He said, how about tomorrow? I said, that's great. And he said, what time? And I said, you know, whatever. And he said, how about 6 a.m.? And I said, yeah, I don't know about that, Russ. I don't know about that. I don't function well at 6 a.m. And all my classes were in the afternoon so I could sleep in the morning. And he said, well, that's the only time I can do it. And so I said, okay, 6 a.m. And so I got myself out of bed. I'll never forget this. It's just like it was yesterday. Got myself out of bed. My roommate was still asleep. I don't even know what I put on. I walk into that room, and Russ is dying laughing instantly because he sees just how tired and groggy I am. Folks, I went in 6 a.m. We started 15 minutes into that workout. At 6:15, my head was hung over a garbage can, and Russ had never laughed so hard. He said, have you had enough? I said, I've had enough. At 6:20, I was back in my bed. I never worked out with Russ again. Now, there's a point to this story, and the point is that if you really, really want to work out, it's important probably to work together. And that's incredibly important. I could never look like Russ unless I worked like Russ. And I was not willing to work like Russ, especially at 6 a.m. Who works out at 6 a.m.? Are you people crazy? Here's what I say. This is what I want to say. To Russ, he probably still thinks about that day. I was a lost cause. But to God, we can be made stronger together as believers with the help of each other. You see, this is how we do it. We work out together. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, he says, two can accomplish more than twice as much as one. He says, for the results can be much better. If one falls, the other pulls him up. But if a man falls when he's alone, he's in trouble. Also, on a cold night, two under the same blanket gain warmth from each other. But how can one be warm alone? And one standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three is even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Now, here's what Solomon was essentially saying. There is strength in numbers. What Solomon was also saying is there is strength among church members. We get stronger when we are together. Why are you here today? That's always a question that I wonder, especially in Covell. I ask it a lot. Why are you here today? What made you get up and come here today? What was your drive and motivation for worshiping here today? You see, well, some of you have been hurting and weak, and I think this might be the case, that some of you have been hurting and weak. The people around you likely have strengthened you and encouraged you through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and I'm guessing that the people around you at one time or another, maybe it's already today, they have filled your needs. They have helped you when you were weak. They picked you up. They built you up. They made you stronger. They've made you better. This is what we do when we work out together. You see, this body, this is a body. These are all congregants with Jesus. This body likely built you up when the world was tearing you down. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 1, 19 and then 22 through 23, he says, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe in him. God has put all things under his feet and made him the supreme head of the church, which is his body filled with himself, the author and giver of everything everywhere. He said in 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 27, Paul says, each of us is a part of the one body of Christ. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. This body has been built by Jesus, and he's using us. And we need it. We rely on it. We love and we live for this body. Now let me ask you this. As a part of this body, how have you strengthened it? And as one who has been weak and tired and sick and stressed and hurt, how much did you need it? Let me ask you something. You ever imagine what it would be like if regarding this body, if you didn't have it? Imagine for a moment if this would be your last Sunday to worship at the Covell Community Church. If the Covell Community Church failed to exist past this Sunday, how would you feel? Some people might say, I'd sleep in. Other people might say, it wouldn't work out. I need this body. What are you willing to do for this body? I'm going to read our sermon text today. It comes from Romans 12, 3 through 11. This is a powerful passage, and the reason I say that is it's kind of a two-parter, and we're going to see both parts of Paul bringing it together. Talks about really what we are encouraged to do as the body, but it also shares with us the strength that we get. Let's listen and see what Paul says. He says, as God's messenger, I give each of you God's warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We're all parts of it. It takes every one of us to make it complete, for we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then prophesy whenever you can, as often as your faith is strong enough to receive a message from God. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If you're a preacher, see to it that your sermons are strong and helpful. If God has given you money, be generous in helping others with it. If God has given you administrative ability, then put you in charge of the work of others. Take the responsibility seriously. Those who offer comfort to the sorrowing should do so with Christian cheer. Don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of the good. Love each other with brotherly affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Powerful words. So where do you fit in? What's your ability? What's your gift? What do you bring to the body? For 3.5 years, Jesus trained his disciples in the ministry of spiritual strength and soul winning. But there was more. For 40 more days, the disciples waited for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them following Jesus' ascension. There was more. Yet about 9 more days had to pass before the Holy Spirit filled these faithful followers and allowed the body of Christ to grow, which was known as the church. And here we are today. Here we are today, part of the very body that these patient, spirit-filled men built some 2,000 years ago. And we're about to add more mass and strength to this growing body of Christ by inducting 3 new members into this church in the second service. We're bodybuilding. That's what we're doing. We're gaining strength in numbers through the Holy Spirit's power and the gifts and talents and attributes that have been collectively gathered here as members. Look at verses 4 and 5. Paul says, just as there are many parts to our body, so it is with Christ's body. We're all parts of it. It takes every one of us to make it complete, for we each have different work to do. We belong to each other, and each needs all the others. You see, we help each other to get stronger and spiritually fit. Russ was gaining nothing from working out with me. Believe me, I was only slowing him down. He didn't want to be with me. He knew my limitations. He saw my body. He knew it was going to be a painstaking effort to get me to look anything like him. But he was willing to do it. And I ask why. Because that's who he was. I could lean on it and look at it and I could say, you know what, that was his military might, that was his personal might, that was the fact that Russ was a giver and a doer and a worker and he cared about me. That's what was in it for him. And that's what's in it for all of you. You see, when you decree that you want to get stronger, that you want to do a little bodybuilding in the church, it's not for you. It's for you. That's why you do it. That's what motivates us to do it. Let me ask you something. How do we take care of our bodies physically? Oh, boy. This is a tough one, isn't it? Isn't it all about what we take in and then how much we work out? Isn't that the case? You see, if you sit a lot and eat a lot, you're not going to get strong. You might like it. I know I love it. I have Dairy Queen Polar Pizza. I have 4 pieces left in the freezer at home. It's cheat day, Junior. It's cheat day. I'm doing it today. 1 slice or 2. The girls aren't up here. Maybe 3 or 4. I don't know. They got a wedding shower. This is what we do, right? What we take in and how we work out determines just how strong we're going to be, how physically fit we're going to be. Let me ask you this. How do we take care of our bodies spiritually? How do we do it? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, he says, "Haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you and that he lives within you? Your own body does not belong to you. For God has bought you with a great price, so use every part of your body to give glory back to God because he owns it. And if he owns it, don't you think that he wants it stronger? Don't you think that he wants us to build it?" Now, this isn't about physical fitness. I'm not here to tell you what to eat and how to work out. I don't think I would be a good guide on how to do that. This is about spiritual fitness, and I can tell you that when we're spiritually fit, it works out. You see, we need the Spirit to do it. The prophet Micah said in Micah 3:8, he says, "But as for me, I am filled with the power, with the Spirit of the Lord, which allows me to do his work. Without the Spirit, the church, Christ's body, would never have been built, and it wouldn't have worked." Yet because the early church was built properly and spiritually, the body of Christ built mass, it gained strength, and it added members. Acts 9:31, Acts 16:15 tells us this. Pastor Jerry Oswalt claims that the church receives life and power from the Holy Spirit, and we have the opportunity to live out the life of Christ because his power infuses us. The great victory provided to the church by the ascension, continues Oswald, is that the living Lord enables his church to practice his principles and perform his ministries. End quote. Now, the Apostle Paul seconds this assessment by encouraging us to examine the very faith that God has given us. Let me ask you something. I don't know if you work out. I work out. I don't know if you work out. But I can tell you this, if you work out, if you're in a physical fitness, if you're all about getting stronger, if you go to the gym, I'm going to ask you this, what or whom is your greatest assessor? And I'm going to tell you what it is, and I believe I'm right. It is not your workout partner. It is not your boyfriend, girlfriend's husband, wife. It is not your best friend. Your greatest assessor is the mirror. The mirror does not lie. You can go up to your friends and say, "Do I look like I'm getting bigger?" Yeah, like really big. You're cut. "Do I look like I'm losing weight?" Of course you do. Isn't it obvious to everyone? But when you go to the mirror and you stand in front of the mirror is your greatest assessor. The mirror will not lie to you. Now, the reason I ask this, and I think it's important, is because if we're going to examine and measure the spiritual fitness of this body, me, and this body, us and we must trust our Savior as the assessor, who is the supreme head of the church, his body. Ephesians 4:15-16 tells us this. In essence, if we want to know how spiritually fit we are, let's ask Jesus. Let's look at the word given to us by Jesus. And let's just figure out how truly spiritually fit we are. Are we building this body and his body with the gifts and the strengths that he's given us? In verses 6-8, we've got a full list of what we're called to do. You see, Jesus builds this body. He says, in Covell, Illinois today, I need those who will prophesy, preach, teach, and ministrate, comfort, serve, give. Look at verses 9 and 10. Honor, love one another, serve the Lord enthusiastically. They will grow, they will build, they will strengthen my body. That's what I need. And Jesus somehow, in a crazy way, brought all of us together to build this body. And today we are here to build this body, but if individuals say, well, not me, I'm not going to work out, I'm not going to work at all, the body will suffer, the body will struggle, and the body will fail. The body relies upon everybody. It needs us based on the fact that it has been built already by Jesus. This is the body. You see, you overcame weakness and weariness and sadness and sickness and stress because this body, through the power and strength of the Holy Spirit, built up your body when you were weakest. You walked into this church at some point, I guarantee you, and today there are individuals that are not feeling great and that are weak. And I can tell you that we have gotten stronger. You have gotten stronger by all these bodybuilders. That somehow, at one point, somebody prayed for you, cared for you, hugged you, loved you, smiled at you, encouraged you, motivated you, and you felt better. That's what the body does. You see, this is for many, that's why you're here today. Because at one point you came in here so weak and you left here so strong and you said, I'm never, ever, ever going to feel that same way again. That's why you're here. You came in hurting. Now you are growing. You're becoming spiritually fit. I want to read this passage. This is 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 10. And here's what Paul says. Listen to this. He says, spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping spiritually fit. Bodily exercise is all right, but spiritual exercise is much more important and is a tonic for all you do. So exercise yourself spiritually and practice being better Christians because that will help you not only now in this life, but in the next life too. This is the truth, and everyone should accept it. We work hard and suffer much in order that people will believe it. For our hope is in the living God who died for all, and particularly for those who've accepted His salvation. Key words. Now there's two key words in that passage that stand out in my mind. One is practice, the other is people. Practice and people. Practice and people. You see, when the church is growing naturally, key word, when the church is growing naturally and spiritually, it is being built upon and added to by the power of the Holy Spirit through the helpful, cheerful, enthusiastic work of this body of people. We see it in Romans 12, 3 through 11. Now, how do you build your body artificially? If you're a baseball fan, this isn't going to take too long for you to figure it out. Let me take you back to 1998 and introduce you to two guys that made headlines when they started to look like they had been blown up with an air hose. Their names were Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. They weren't the only ones. Alex Rodriguez and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, the list goes on and on of those who have used those three scary letters, PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs. And these guys got big fast. You know how they did it? They cut corners. They cheated the system. Many would say they did it illegally. Basically, they did it unethically. And at the end of the day, they became better. But it didn't last because they did it artificially. Now, the question I ask today is this. Has today's church, and I'm not even just talking about Covell, I'm talking about everywhere, has today's church grown artificially? Is today's church spiritually fit? Billy Graham says this. Graham says, the church in America is faced with an amazing paradox. On the one hand, more people are attending church than at any time in our history. Our budgets are larger than ever before, yet never has the church lacked spiritual power so greatly as now in the face of a staggering opportunity and the most accelerated moral decline of any nation in world history. End quote. According to Graham, today's churches are growing artificially. You know what it's about? It's about numbers, not the members. It's about increasing in numbers, not growing the members. It's about getting bigger, but not getting better. This is where we are falling short. Every single church needs the assessor. We need to look at Jesus Christ and ask Jesus Christ, Jesus, are we meeting your standards? It can never be about the numbers. It just can't. But it will always be about the growth and the strength and the dedication and the hard work and the faith and the love of those members. So how do you know if you're growing naturally? How do we know if we're growing spiritually? Well, Romans 12, 3 through 11 gives us a really good indication of that. Also, let's read 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. This passage is really going to give us an indication. If you say, I want to know if this church is growing naturally and spiritually. I want to know if this body is growing naturally and spiritually. Here you go. Here's what Peter does, and this is your perfect way to look at it. Peter says, for as you know him, meaning God, for as you know God better, he will give you through his great power everything you need for living a truly good life. He even shares his own glory and his own goodness with us. And by that same mighty power, he has given us all the other rich and wonderful blessings he promised. For instance, the promise to save us from the lust and rottenness all around us and to give us his own character. Here it comes, folks. Peter says, but to obtain these gifts, you need more than faith. You must also work hard to be good. And even that's not enough. For then you must learn to know God better and discover what he wants you to do. Next, learn to put aside your own desires so that you will become patient and godly, gladly letting God have his own way with you. This will make possible the next step, which is for you to enjoy other people and to like them. Finally, you'll grow to love them deeply. And the more you go on in this way, the more, here it comes, the more you will grow strong spiritually and become fruitful and useful to our Lord Jesus Christ. But anyone who fails to go after these additions to faith is blind indeed, or at least very short-sighted, and has forgotten that God delivered him from the old life of sin so that now he can live a good, strong life for the Lord. So, dear brothers, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Then you'll never stumble or fall away. And God will open wide the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I call those Christian calisthenics. That's how you work out. And when you work out, it works out. This is how we grow strong spiritually, naturally, and spiritually. We must essentially and constantly build our body to help build this body, naturally and spiritually. Folks, it's a team effort, it's a group effort, but make no mistake about it, it takes effort. It takes effort. How many people remember the ad for the Bowflex? Oh, you can't forget the Bowflex. Remember that thing? Do they even still do that? Do they still make that thing? Remember the guy, it looked like they stuck an air hose in him and started pumping him up? That guy was amazing. Here's what the Bowflex did. I'm a marketing guy, okay? So I respected the marketing campaign that Bowflex put out there. Here's what the Bowflex did. The Bowflex, and it was either a 30-minute dissertation where you got to watch it on a, you know, midnight on a Tuesday night, or it was just a 60-second ad. But you remember the guy. The guy was working out with his Bowflex. Now, here are the key things you got to take from this ad. He was working out alone. He was working out at home. And he only had to work out 20 minutes, and you could look like the man of plastic. That guy was amazing. And everybody looking at him like, 20 minutes? I can do 20 minutes? Really? At home? Alone? That's the way I like to work out anyway. So everybody ordered the Bowflex. I will admit it. I'm so embarrassed to admit this. You're my family. I can share this. I ordered the brochure for the Bowflex. I was leafing through. I thought it would fit my basement. I'm going to look like Mr. Plastic there. So I was thumbing through the brochure, and folks, I realize, I mean, I don't know if you knew this, but you've got to like undo and unhook and unhinge and then fasten and rehook. If you've ever had the Bowflex, let me tell you, it took 25 minutes just to get the thing redone so you could do your next work. I said, I'm not going to do this. It'd take me an hour and 20 minutes just to get the thing figured out. So I didn't order it. But here's what I bring up about the Bowflex, because folks, and it's true with a lot of our exercise apparatuses that we have purchased that stay in our homes. The Bowflex. It was supposed to work, and again, it was an encourager to work out at home and work out alone for 20 minutes. That's how a lot of people view Christianity today. They say this, I'll just stay at home. In fact, I'm probably better off just being alone. I don't need to be around those hypocrites. And 20 minutes? I can do 20 minutes. And really what it turns out to be is maybe 2 minutes. The point is this, folks. There are a lot of Bowflexes and treadmills and ellipticals that have now become coat racks in people's homes. Why? Because they had the best intention in the world. They said, you know what? I can do this. Until they got this. And they said, I can't do this. People struggle to work out alone. People struggle to bodybuild in their home. That is why people work out together. Pay attention, folks. In the marketing ads that you see right after the first of the year, there's a reason why all the gyms will hit you up right after the first of the year. You know how many people have heard a gymnasium ad, a workout facility ad lately? They don't do it. You're out working out right now in the summer. You're not thinking about being in a gym. January's when they hit you. But here's what they do. The savvy gyms who know their way around the marketing landscape, here's what they do. Buy one, get one free. Why do they do that? Because they know you're going to work out better if you're with someone working out together. They know if it's up to you to work out alone, you're not going to work out alone. This is a lesson for our church today. We don't work out alone. This body is built by individuals who leave their homes and come to this home and work out together. That's how we do it. This is how success happens. You see, this is where we help and encourage each other. This is where we grow stronger spiritually and biblically. And ultimately, this is where we add new members, not numbers. Our one Savior is the foundation of the church, but it has taken trillions of Christians to build and grow today's church. You know what that means? We can't do it alone. And Jesus knew it. That's why he brought all of you here today. That's why he continues to bring all of you here every Sunday. Because he wants all of us together to do it. Every one of us has been given an ability, or many abilities, to build this body. I'm going to read to you Ephesians 4, 12 through 16. Here's what Paul says regarding that. He says, why is it that he gives us these special abilities to do certain things best? It is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for him. Listen to this one. Building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity until finally we all believe alike about our salvation and about our Savior, God's Son, and all become full grown in the Lord, yes, to the point of being filled full with Christ. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Instead, we will lovingly follow the truth at all times, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, and so become more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. Each part in its own special way helps the other parts so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Is every single church healthy? Are you kidding me? Have you ever looked around and seen the perfect church? I always tell people, if you're looking for the perfect church, don't walk in it. Because it will quickly become imperfect. Is every church healthy? No. Why not? Because not every member is a bodybuilder. Not every member wants to work out. And when that happens, things in the church don't work out. We need bodybuilders. God wants this body to be healthy and growing and full of love. This means that the Covell Community Church body must consist of selfless, serving, giving, loving, teaching members who are willing to utilize our God-given talents and abilities to become true body builders. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:13, he says, "For I can do everything God asked me to with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and power." Paul was a church body builder. Are we? Do we long to become spiritually fit? So like Paul and the church, so we too can help in growing it and building it. We once lived in weakness. Maybe not anymore. Our faith in and our Holy Spirit has given us strength to help this church and to work together to build it. Let's be bodybuilders. Let's be bodybuilders. Let's build this body. And let's make sure that every single one of us that make up that body is spiritually fit. Let's close. Lord, I need you. It'll never be about the numbers. It just won't. But it'll always be about the members. It always will. I am not concerned about being the biggest. I sweat and toil every day about being the best. We don't need to be the biggest church, but I want to be the best church. That's what I want. In everything I do in life, whether it's in this church or outside of this church, and Cam will tell you because I drive her nuts, I want to be the best. And if I'm not, I get mad, and oh, do I get mad. That's why my lines in my yard, I had one little crooked area in my yard to say, and the whole time I'm just standing out there looking at it like, you got to be kidding me. You can't drive the mower straight, mow straight! Gosh, my own worst enemy. And we want to be the best. We want to be the best. God wants our best. And that means that we're going to build this body, not based on numbers, but based on members. That's what we do. Let's build it together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we gather here today, we do so because we know that you want us to be our best. Help us to build this body. And help us to do it together because each needs all the others. You brought us here for a reason and a purpose. It's not so we can just stay home and stay alone. It's rather so we can come into this church home and build it and make it better. Use us, I pray. Help us to see the abilities that you've given us. And I pray that we will grow and that we will strengthen this church. And in that process, I pray that you'll grow and make us stronger spiritually and that we'll be fit. Go with us today. Keep us safe in all that we say and do, and help us to be a blessing to everyone in this broken nation that we are in right now. Help us to be unifiers and not dividers. Help us to be lovers of your word, and help us to care for a fellow man regardless of the circumstances. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.